Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Quick pass comes out quickly. It is fumbled out around the 27-yard line, picked up by Jerry Hughes. Hughes runs to his right, still on his feet, inside the 25, and he's still on his feet, fighting for more yardage inside the 20. Hughes finally brought down at the 15-yard line.
If you use the word opportunistic, that's fine. I think, you know, just to me, the DNA of our guys, the resiliency, the toughness, the mental toughness of our players. Never want to be down in a game. You could see the look in their eye at halftime. They were disappointed with themselves and what had unfolded during the first half, and they were convinced that they had to do something about it, and that was good to see them rally together. It wasn't anything I did. It was everything they did.
All right, that was John Murphy on the call on the Buffalo Bills radio network, and then it was, of course, Sean McDermott after the game yesterday. The Bills 31-21. Over the Miami Dolphins. Sal Capaccio here with you. Welcome back to the Extra Point Show. 1 hour left to take your phone calls. We'll get to sit up, stand down, hey buddy, all of that in this hour. Want to tell you about something I'm involved in, very important to me, very passionate about it, and looking for your help. And that is the Real Men Wear Pink campaign as part of the American Cancer Society. And with the help and support of Entercom Radio and WGR, I've been able to be a part of this. When they asked, it was something that I said yes to because breast cancer has impacted my family. Years ago, had an aunt who passed away from breast cancer. Currently have a family member battling breast cancer. Have had other family members with breast cancer. That's why I decided to take part in this fight. And part of the fight is, and what you do, is to get to a certain goal for donations. And my goal is $2,500. Has to be done by the end of October. I have 1 week left, well, 10 days left. And I'm at $1,844 right now. I'm getting there. I need about $700. So I'm going to tweet the link out at Sal Sports. All right, I'm going to tweet the link to my donation page at Sal Sports. And I'd love if you could go there and help out with any donation. No donation is too small. In my fight against breast cancer, it impacts many of us. I know people listening, it's impacted you, your family, your friends. And again, it's part of the American Cancer Society's Real Men Wear Pink campaign. All month, I have to wear pink in some capacity. I have a pink bracelet on today. I have my pink Real Men Wear Pink lapel. I got that. So I'm trying to do my part, but I need your help. And I'm going to tweet it out at Sal Sports, my particular donation page for the Real Men Wear Pink campaign from the American Cancer Society. And it'd be great if you could help out there. I'm $1,844 right now. I need to get to $2,500. Dollars. All right, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. More of your phone calls here. Let's start with Chris, who's on WGR. Hi, Chris, go ahead.
Hey.
Chris, go ahead. Yep.
Can you hear me? I'm on the Bluetooth.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right, cool. Hey, I just want to talk about Brandon Bean and the receiver corps. I think that he did a good job with bringing in John Brown. I love John Brown. And Cole Beasley, I think he's been doing good. But what I'm worried about is how thin we are there. I mean, if John Brown goes down, I mean, who do we got?
Right, yeah. And look, the Bluetooth is tough, so I heard your question, so I'm just going to let go of you there and then tell you this. It is an area that I think they could still improve on. They also still have Robert Foster, who was inactive yesterday. He's a guy I think that, you know, if you need another injection, somebody who can come in to help out, that's the case. Everybody, you want your team to be loaded with Pro Bowlers everywhere. You want your team to have all of your, you know, depth players who can step in and be starters. That's just not the case. It's not realistic. I think that they can still use some help at wide receiver, but I also think that the wide receivers they have, so much better than last year, not top end necessarily in the league, but are performing pretty well for the most part when they're called upon. And if they can find the right player for the right price at the deadline, I would not be opposed to that. By the way, the trade deadline is 1 week from tomorrow. 1 week from tomorrow is the trade deadline. And we'll see what happens. Like I said, I read Emmanuel Sanders might be on the block. Not really a guy I'm too interested in. 5'11", doesn't fit into, I think they kind of have guys like him on the team. What are you going to give up for a guy like that? But he could add another element. If you can get A.J. Green, I don't know. I mean, now they're saying he won't even be back until after the trade deadline. That might be because they're saving him to make sure he's healthy so a team can trade for him. I'm not sure. There's a lot to be decided, but to answer your question, if someone were to get hurt, well, like I said, Robert Foster's there. They could get Isaiah McKenzie some more snaps. Not that that makes everyone feel great, but that's what happens at every position for almost every team, which is you just can't have loaded depth everywhere with guys who are just going to step in and it's going to be seamless. When guys get hurt, starters, it hurts your team. That's what happens. Let's go to Pat. Hi, Pat. You're on WGR. What's up?
Morning, Sal.
Good morning.
I had a couple things. I had some oddity yesterday. I was actually listening to the game. I was driving home from Ohio, so I actually came home and watched it. And my big thing that I was concerned with, I had one each for offense and defense and then something about Jordan Phillips, but the defense throughout McDermott's term here has been really, really good at coming in and making adjustments when teams are doing things. And yesterday, it seemed like, although Fitzpatrick, I thought, was really throwing the ball well for him, and made some great plays, but I really kind of was befuddled that they couldn't adjust to some of the runs that they were able to get on them and really kind of powered some things home. There seemed to be some missed tackles and stuff. I don't know if there was some gap assignments, but especially running inside, it seemed like they really could never figure that out. And right to the very end, Fitz moved the ball down the field on them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I don't know what the issue was other than the only thing I can point to is, and I haven't gone back and looked at the All-22 yet, I will, but Matt Milano being out was a big deal. They had a guy in Maurice Alexander who's not a traditional type of inside linebacker or even a will linebacker, but usually Corey Thompson would get more run. He's out. I think that hurt them. But also, if you listen to the guys in the locker room, what they told me was they said, Pat, we were thinking too much, and they weren't just playing, and that can happen. There were a lot of quick hitters that if you're thinking too much, you're not going to be able to get to your assignment as quick as you want to or as good as you want to.
Agreed. And on the offensive side, it's something that's been kind of troubling. They still haven't seemed to figure out is when teams are doing, you know, different looks and trying to blitz, it seems like the line is having a difficult time adjusting to, I don't want to say exotic. It really wasn't exotic what they were doing yesterday where they were kind of standing around. But, you know, stuff like Tennessee, I can recall the defensive back blitz coming in and them not picking it up. It seems like a lot of the pass blocking assignments, I don't know if it's just taking them time because it's a newer scheme and a new coach, but that was something that that I thought they really need to get cleaned up, especially as they go on to play some better defenses and better teams as well.
Yeah, yeah, and there were definitely some things yesterday that popped up that haven't been there for the defense, there's no doubt. The offense, I thought the offense played a pretty good game yesterday, but you're right about that. You know, that the defense, there were some things that happened, things that popped up. Callers brought up earlier, maybe that's the game plan. Teams going forward now start hitting quick hitters, quick passes against them. Maybe that's the case. Again, I think not having Matt Milano showed yesterday how valuable he is to this team. And I'm not pinning everything on his replacements or saying, oh my gosh, without Matt Milano, they can't. No, I'm just saying he's a good player and he does a lot for them. And I think that it would have been a little bit different on what the Dolphins were able to do against them if he had been out there. Let's go to Nick, who's up next on WGR. Hi, Nick.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Listen, they got an angry Eagles squad coming in this week, and if the Bills had trouble yesterday up the middle, to me, Fletcher Cox is the best nose tackle besides Aaron Donald in the NFL. And what Dallas did last night was something that the Bills use a lot. They run that slot receiver all the way across McKenzie. Well, Dallas did something like that, too, with Miles Austin, and they stopped him just in the middle of the line, and he came right back. And then they ran a screen to him during pressure, and they got a key touchdown. And this is where coaching's going to come in. If the Bills look at that and make some adjustments this week because the Eagles are a blitzing squad with a great defensive front. If they had trouble yesterday, watch out because the
Eagles. Yeah, well, they've had a lot of trouble this year. You're right, you're not wrong, though. They're going to be a motivated, angry, desperate team, and that it's kind of what we saw yesterday, actually. But that is always dangerous. They're also very, very talented. I actually picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year. I think they have the most talent in the NFL when they're all healthy. But they have struggled in a lot of ways, and the Bills need to take advantage of those struggles. So you're right about everything you said, but at the same time, this is not the same Eagles team I thought it would be going into the year. You there? Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to respond to that. That's okay. You don't have to. I always try to give people a chance to respond if they wanted to. 803-0550, 888-552-550. We have our sit-up, my sit-up, stand-down, and hey, buddy, coming your way in just a little while. Taking a look around the NFL and looking at tonight. It's a big game tonight, you know, for Bill's purposes. It's Patriots and Jets. And, look, I don't put it past the Jets at all to win this game. I think they can. I don't think they will. I would pick the Patriots to win. But I think last week showed us, you know what? The Jets at home, Sam Darnold, they're a different team than what we saw week one when the Bills went there. They're a different team than what we saw through the first 4 weeks of them, three of which they didn't have Sam Darnold at quarterback. Now they do. And if you look at the standings, I know for years we've been trained here in Buffalo to say, well, just have the Patriots keep winning. That way you can keep all the other AFC teams down and you can get a wild card. I mean, at the end of the day, maybe they do win the division and you're still fighting with those other teams for the wild card. But right now, man, no way. Bills fans need to be rooting hard for the Jets tonight. If the Jets happen to pull the upset on the Patriots, which, by the way, again, is not completely implausible, the Bills and Patriots will be tied at 6-1. And the Patriots, they do have some games coming up where they could get tripped up. Now, we all know their defense is great. They have Tom Brady. They haven't played the roughest of schedules yet. But look, after this week, they get Cleveland, but then they go to Baltimore. They have a bye week. They got to go to Philly. They get Dallas at home. They got to go to Houston. They get Kansas City at home. There are some games in there where you could see them losing a game or two. And if the Bills and the Patriots, let's say, both have a couple of losses come week 16, it's on, man. Bills go to New England with everything on the line right there. 2 weeks left in the season. By the way, that game, week 16, we've been talking about it here for a while. It could get flexed. It could get flexed to Saturday, though, not Sunday night. Saturday. I mean, it could get flexed to Sunday night, I guess. But it's one of five games which are candidates to be flexed to Saturday from Sunday. And there are three of them that will be. Three games that week will be flexed. So you have better of a chance than it not happening, actually. And now it's trending more like it could. And here's the thing. It's got to be decided by next week. Next week, like a week from today, a week from tomorrow, right around that time, is when the NFL will tell us if the Bills will play Saturday, week 16, or Sunday. Has to be done no later than after week 8. Well, guess what? Next week is week 8. So we'll find out about that next week around this time. Maybe it'll happen during the show. That'd be awesome. How cool would that be? You're going to be here next week, next Monday, Derek? No? That'll be John in here, probably, right?
Next week is week 8, though. Like, dang.
I know, right? It's amazing.
We're already at the halfway point.
It could happen. I could be on the radio at this time next week, 11:17 a.m. next Monday, and all of a sudden we could get an alert. Hey, Bills are playing on Saturday, week 16. Because it's got to happen next week, like Monday or Tuesday. You got to decide, basically, the NFL. They'll make that decision. So we'll see. We'll keep you updated on that as well. Let's go to Mike, who's up next here on WGR on the Extra Point Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal. I just want to make an observation here. Wouldn't it be something if the Bills made the playoffs and they were the team that kept New England from going to four straight Super Bowls?
I've thought about it. I can't lie. That's crossed my mind because if the Patriots go to the Super Bowl, they will tie the Bills' record, obviously, and that is the one thing that we have held on to here in Buffalo is no team has ever done it. That would be pretty amazing if they even had that opportunity. That's all he called to say. That's been on his mind, Mike. That's all he called to say, which is fine because I've actually thought about it. I don't sit around thinking about it a lot, but it has crossed my mind. Tyler, what's going on, buddy? How are you on WGR?
Hey, good, Sal. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, everyone's talking about the trade deadline coming up, and I know Miami's trying to get rid of everybody. What about bringing in Devontae Parker for a wide receiver?
I mean, I like Devontae Parker, but has there been any talk of him? I haven't seen. Maybe you've seen it. Devontae, is there anybody in talk of him being, you know, available that you've seen? Is that why you bring it up?
Yeah, on the Gamecast yesterday, they were actually talking about him actually being on the block.
Gotcha. I'm looking at his, let me just look at his contract right now. I want to see. Now, I shouldn't even count this as, wow, he's got 1 year left because they're trading even guys who are under contract for a while. But He is under contract this year and then through next year. So, yeah. Hey, I like him. I think he's a good player. Here's the thing, though. He's been kind of underwhelming and disappointing most of his career, but I think he's starting to kind of show a little bit of life here. Yesterday was one of those days. So, I don't hate the idea. I just don't know if he's even available, what their situation is, what they're thinking about it. That would matter, obviously. Derek, you're up next on WGR. Go ahead, Derek. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good, thank you.
Hey, first time caller, long time listener.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I thought the defense did well yesterday. I mean, you know, there's times there today. Fitzpatrick's just Fitzpatrick, man. I mean, you know, he was hungry yesterday coming into Buffalo. You know, he's had his time there in Buffalo. I'm sure he wanted to beat us, you know, pretty bad to get the first win. But, you know, I thought we did good. And Josh Allen, I thought he did okay yesterday. I know everybody bangs on him, but I think he did better than what he's done in the recent weeks here lately.
I don't think a lot of people are downing him. I think the biggest criticism today is the deep ball that he's missing. But I thought he played pretty well yesterday for the most part. He was only at, 61.5%, but he was 10 of 11 in the second half. And I think in the first half it was more of a situational. It was dictated by the circumstances of not having the ball as much, some play calling, some drop passes, things like that. I think everything played into it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, me and my family was at Buffalo Wild Wings watching the game, and my kids were bragging on me the first half, you know, saying Buffalo's fixing to lose. I said, it's not over, baby.
Well, you know what? Someone smart told me yesterday, the story's always written in the second half. Story's always written in the second half. You know who that smart guy was? Story's always written in the second half. He's been around a lot of football. Bill Wippert takes all the photography, a lot of the great photography you see. Bill's Sabres, they have excellent photography around that you see on different, you know, platforms. But my buddy Bill Wippert told me that yesterday. At halftime, he said, the story is always written in the second half. And then after the game, he went up to me and said, did I not tell you the story is always written in the second half? Usually it is. That's true. That was good. Hey, Derek, we got a minute here. Let's take a look around the league. Got some NFL music? I'll kind of give my thoughts on some teams here, what's going on. You know, we are close to the halfway point, so maybe it's time to kind of start really figuring out who teams are and what happened yesterday around the league. The Rams finally got back on track on offense. They beat the Atlanta Falcons 37-10. The Falcons have dropped to 1-6. They had a lot of optimism in Atlanta. Their defense is not good, and I think Dan Quinn is probably going to be gone soon. Not looking like he's going to be able to survive this in Atlanta the way it's trending. Let me ask you this. Would you be shocked, Derek Kramer, if the Cincinnati Bengals wound up with the number one pick and not the Miami Dolphins?
They face each other, so...
In week 16, they do. Oh, and here's the thing. The way the Bengals are right now... If they're going to start selling off parts, which they could, the Dolphins, the way they played yesterday, could you not see them maybe getting a victory before the Bengals? Or, you know, I mean, I don't know the Bengals' schedule off the top of my head. I'd have to look at it. I got it in front of me here now, but they could, right?
Yeah, they could.
By the way, it's not determined by head-to-head. It is determined by strength of schedule.
Having a head-to-head would help.
If the Dolphins and Bengals both finished with one win, it wouldn't matter who won the game between them. It would depend on... the strength of schedule, and the lower strength of schedule gets the better pick because that basically means you played a weaker schedule, yet you were still bad.
Yeah, but having that win or not having that win would be critical in this sort of race. So week 16 could be the tank bowl to end all tank bowls, whether by accident or on purpose, because entering the season, you didn't know Cincinnati was going to be trying to, you know, start losing all these games, and they're... Some of their fans are just like, yeah, we totally meant to do this, right?
I'll tell you what. They're in a bad spot there. Vikings, they are starting to look pretty good. 42-30 over the Detroit Lions, who fall to 2-3-1. Weren't the Lions 2-0-1 just a few weeks ago? I think they were. Here's Detroit. I'm pretty sure Detroit was 2-0-1. Yeah, they lost three in a row. Now they've lost to the Chiefs, the Packers, and the Vikings. But they've lost three in a row. Falling back to who they are. The Raiders, I never thought they were really much of a threat in the AFC. They went to Green Bay yesterday. They got They got housed by Aaron Rodgers, who had 5 touchdown passes.
You know what's...
By the way, Zay Jones, I don't think he played. He didn't have a target, I checked.
He was not active, actually,
okay,
for that
you.
Game. But, man, Aaron Rodgers. I feel like this is the revenge tour, and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers having a defense that's competent as well is like Happy Gilmore learning how to putt. So Green Bay is a very dangerous team this year.
They are. They're very good. It's starting to work out between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. We'll see if that's sustainable and long-term. It's starting to get better and better each week. You know who's a really, really good coach? Frank Reich. The Colts, 30-23 over the Texans. Now, I know they had a bye before that. They had a week to get ready, get healthier, prepare for Deshaun Watson. Watson and the Texans go to Kansas City, have that monster win. You would think they have a bit of an emotional type of letdown. I mean, that does happen. But, man, the Colts, Jacoby Brissett, what Frank Reich is doing, 4-2. They're in that second wild card spot behind the Bills, by the way, right now. Cardinals, they look good with Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury running the show, going to the Giants. They were up big, but they held on 27-21, the final score there. At the Meadowlands, Giants dropped to 2-5. I still can't believe Saquon Barkley actually played, though, after what he was going through.
I'm not surprised at all. The man's an athletic
superhuman.
Freak.
49ers 9-0 over the Redskins. 49ers are a very, very good team. Shutout. They've held their opponents without a score in 18 straight possessions, I believe it is. I read that, which is amazing. They played the Redskins, who are not good, but it was a quagmire, and you can't get anything done in that anyway. Saints. I'll talk about them in a minute, hint, hint, but 36-25 over the Bears. What happened to the Bears' defense this year? They lose Vic Fangio, and suddenly they lose all semblance of who they are and what they're doing. I heard Howard and Jeremy say, craziest ending ever for the Chargers at the Titans. I did not see it. I have to go back and watch it.
The Chargers just find new, creative ways
every
to
year.
Break their...
Well, every year.
I would say to break their fan base's heart, but I feel like there's only 700 people paying attention to them right now.
Now, the Ravens, they go to the Seahawks. They win 30-16. I think the story here is both teams because the Seahawks, they have, I mean, the Bengals lost by 1 point at the Seahawks earlier this year. The Ravens beat them by 2 touchdowns. They get 2 defensive touchdowns in this game. Lamar Jackson is running and throwing all over the place. This guy's numbers right now, yesterday, his numbers, he ran for 116 yards on 14 carries. He threw for 143. It was only 9 of 20. Okay, I'm sorry, I have to say this for a second. I just have to say it. Josh Allen had games like that last year, and all people did was say, he can't play quarterback, he's an athlete, he's a running back playing quarterback. Why is no one saying that about Lamar Jackson? He was 9 of 20 for 143, but he ran for 116. Josh Allen had games exactly like that last year, and he was vilified for not being a quote-unquote quarterback. Now, maybe some people are saying that about Lamar Jackson, but all I hear is praise and hype for the new way to play quarterback around the NFL. Total double standard here.
It is, and
I don't like it.
It's both of these quarterbacks have had polarizing moments with either the draft community or now, or even now as professionals. Lamar Jackson's was more in the draft process when people are saying, "Oh, he should just play wide receiver."
Right. And look, I'm not downing Lamar Jackson. I just think it's a ridiculous contradiction by a lot of people. Let's look at Lamar Jackson's games this year. He started off incredible in that first game against the Miami Dolphins. He only ran for 6 yards in that game, but he threw for, I mean, a boatload. I can't remember, like over 300. But then he ran for 120, 46, 66, 70, 152, and 116 the last couple weeks. But here's his passing. You ready? Lamar Jackson's passing the last few weeks. Completion percentage. Yep. Not bad. 45 yesterday. In the mid-60s, he was at 51 one game, 70. He's at 63%. Not horrible. Yardage, though. 143 yesterday, 236, 161, 247. These are Allen numbers. That's what he is. He has Allen numbers.
And
but
like
yet,
Allen, he is winning games.
And he's winning games.
These,
I like it.
These two have a good parallel to them right now. It's that
it just seems to me to be a contradiction by a lot of people.
Yeah, it's
fans,
very strange.
Media. All right, we'll take a timeout. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, coming your way on WGR.
The snap, and Fitz is brought down. He is nailed to the ground by Jordan Phillips. Back around the 11-yard line. The ball comes out for a moment, but they rule him down.
And Phillips didn't know the ball came out, or else he could have picked it up and ran with it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know at first either. And then I saw it on the ground, and Jordan Phillips was already kind of celebrating. And sometimes I say, oh, dude, pay attention. But that was a tough one to see. Fitz kind of rolled over. The ball was under. So I guess he should have known. He should have been. That's a tough one for me to criticize. But Eric was right. If he would have seen it, he could have picked it up. He could have ran. He didn't. That's okay. It was a great play by Jordan Phillips. John Murphy on the call there on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Bills win 31-21. Read all about it, WGR550.com. Hey, have you tried the WGR, I shouldn't even say that, the radio.com rewind feature? Radio.com rewind is awesome. It's revolutionizing the way you're going to listen to local radio. I actually put a video up. Go to my Sal Sports Twitter page. Right there at the top, I pinned the tweet. Right there at the top. Click on the video and watch. It's a tutorial on how to use it. It's only like 3 minutes long. It's super easy. Download the radio.com app. If you already have it, update the app. It's super important. And when you're on there, you can actually listen to live radio like normal, and then you can scrub back 24 hours to any spot. There's timestamps on there. You could say, what did Sal say 20 minutes ago that was so stupid? You can literally just open it up and scrub back 20 minutes ago. Anytime you want. You don't have to wait for on-demand anymore. And you can do that with any of our local shows. Now, play-by-play shows, national shows, some of those you can't do. Those are live-only shows. But for our shows, the local shows, Show Up in the Bulldog, me on this program, Howard and Jeremy, scrub back, go back and listen. It's super cool. Try it out, radio.com, rewind on the app. And it's also on our website. When you go and open our website, go to WGR550.com, hit listen live. You can scrub back and forth like that as well. I know it's not super new technology overall, but it is new to local radio technology. And that's why it's very cool to have this option now to listen however you want. And if you know what? You're driving around, taking the kids to school in the morning. It's 7 o'clock. It's 7:30. You got to drop them off. There's a segment you don't want to miss, like Howard Picks the Bills on Tuesdays. Don't worry. Hit pause. Go back in your car. After you drop the kids off, hit play, and it picks up right there. And then when you're done, you can go back to the live. It's pretty cool, right? Try it out. Radio.com on the app, and it's the rewind feature. Got the tutorial for you at my website, WGR550.com. At Sal Sports on my Twitter page is where you can find the tutorial video. All right, time to sit up and stand down today. So let's do that right now. Who am I sitting up on? Who am I standing down on? You know, sometimes I have a stand down that later becomes a sit up. Sometimes I have a sit up that later becomes a stand down. Why? Because things change. It's a week to week segment. I have no shame in saying, yeah, I'm sitting down now after I was standing up on something. Or, the other way around. I'm standing down now after I was sitting up on something. See, I always confuse that. Everybody says to me, why isn't it sit down and stand up? Here's why. Because we sit up to pay attention to something, or we stand down on something we thought was really cool. So today, what we're going to sit up on, it's actually kind of a duel. It's the New Orleans Saints and it's Teddy Bridgewater together. But really, the Saints overall and what they're doing since they lost Drew Brees. Here are the Saints games. I got to remember exactly when Brees went out. But the Saints, they're a very good football team. They're balanced. I like how they're winning games right now. The only game they lost was that rematch against the Rams, 27-9 at L.A. Other than that, they're 6-1 on the year, and they've beaten some good teams. They beat Houston. They beat Seattle. They beat Dallas. They just beat the Chicago Bears by scoring 36 points against that Bears defense. Teddy Bridgewater coming in for an injured Drew Brees. I've always liked Teddy Bridgewater, by the way. I've always said he's a good player who I think could be a good starter in this league. We know the injury he had that was unfortunate, and now he's out here playing really well for the New Orleans Saints. I want to get Bridgewater's numbers here. Let me pull it up. Click down to New Orleans Saints. Yesterday had a nice game. Not like overwhelming for Bridgewater in his games, but just efficient in what he's doing. 67.7 completion percentage. Yesterday, 281, 240 against Jacksonville, 314 against Tampa. I mean, he only threw for 193 against Dallas. He was 76%. But sit up on the New Orleans Saints and Teddy Bridgewater and what they're doing. All right, here's what we're going to stand down on today. I got to read you this story. I see this headline. CBSSports.com. Eagles fans burn Carson Wentz jersey after blowout loss to Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Now, I think it's only like one person, but I'm going to use this as an entire general statement, an overarching view on, can we stand down on burning jerseys? What is this about? Where did this stupid practice start? The whole LeBron thing kind of really brought it into focus when he left Cleveland for the first time, went to Miami. People were burning jerseys everywhere. Look, I know the Kaepernick jerseys have been burned, stuff like that. The players who didn't stand for the anthem when all that was going on a couple years ago, whatever the reason, especially, though, if it's the guy didn't play well, I'm going to burn his jersey. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You spend your money, hard-earned money, on this stuff, and then what? It's just for attention, I think. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, because you want headlines on websites like CBS Sports or wherever. Look, this is me get off my lawn guy, no doubt. All right, I'm 46. I might be at that point in my life where I'm going to get off my lawn guy once in a while. But I'm going to say this. Can you at least maybe think about, if you don't want your jersey, giving it and donating it to somebody who might actually need some?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah.
We're getting closer to Christmas, Thanksgiving. Instead of burning it, my advice is you don't have to listen to me. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just offering it as an alternative. If you're mad about your team or a player, maybe give the jersey away instead of burning it. Maybe, yeah, there's a kid out there somewhere. There's a person out there. Donate it. Give it to somebody.
So wasteful.
I don't get it.
It's wasteful. You're angry. Just go do.
And by the way, you made a great point during the break. Why are they burning Carson Wentz's jersey?
He's not their problem.
He's not their problem right now. Their defense is way more their problem. The receivers are their problem. Playing great.
Did you see Nelson Aguilar pretty much like alligator arm a deep
pass?
Yes,
I did.
Like, come on.
All right, well, they're coming to town next week. Bills-Eagles next Sunday here on WGR and along the Bills Radio Network. We got Hey Buddy. Who's my buddy this week? I think you're going to like this one. We're crossing over a little bit, but we're kind of staying right here. That's my hint to you and my tease when we come back on WGR. All right, back here on the Extra Point Show, WGR Sports Radio 550, Sal Capaccio with you. It's been a fun show today. It's been a really good show today. I think I have time to take a phone call. We'll squeeze one in here. Mark is on the line. I appreciate you so much calling, Mark. What's up?
Hey, Sal. How you been?
Good, thank you.
I really like the resolve of this team. I know a lot of people are nitpicking for style points. I don't think they're at that phase yet in their life cycle. They're not at the style points phase yet, so people need to kind of back off on that. But as it relates to the Bears, similarly built teams, good defense, but you saw their defense become not only tired yesterday, but they looked demoralized out there, and that can create a fracture, and you've seen that with other Bills teams. 0-4 comes to mind, where the defense carried the freight, the offense, was blah, and this team saw the offense go 98 yards on a play. They turned another turnover into a touchdown, and that's huge in keeping the team together and just being able to play together through rough patches.
Yeah, listen, I think yesterday the biggest thing that surprised me, Mark, was they did not seem like they were as energetic or, had as much life that they normally do, and that could be attributed to a lot of things. It's hard every week in this league to be up like that for 16 games. You come off a bye. You have a team that's 0-5. As much as you try to keep the standard the same, and we hear about that, and I think they do a good job of that generally, I don't think it's always possible to be right there. You know what I mean?
Yes, Sal. And I think the fifth factor, there was a lot of coming off a bye. There was a flatness there. And one other quick thing before I get off. Flores comes from the New England Patriots. If you notice, there was a play where on a punt, Bill's punt, they all converged in, similar to New England, for a block. And Sonoris Perry made the adjustment to call the extra blockers in so that they didn't have any mess-ups there. That, I found that was a good play, even though it was a punt.
Yeah, I got you. All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate the phone call. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Time to get to my Hey Buddy. We do it every week. It's who I call my buddy for the week. And we do it because I walk around basically saying Hey Buddy to people all the time. It's funny because now it's become a brand. When you see me, people say, hey, buddy, hey, buddy. And I laugh. I know why they say it. But my buddy this week is actually a group of people. And they're right here. And in fact, they're home now because they've been on the road. They've been out in California for three games. And they came away with two wins. And that is your Buffalo Sabres. And that is their head coach, Ralph Krueger. They're my buddies. This is a team that looks good, looks well coached. I mean, I know we got caught up last year. People had a 10-game win streak, or a 10-game whatever it was. 10-game win streak, right? That's not what it was last year. And I know people are very, very hesitant to buy in because the same thing could happen right now. But I think the difference is this team actually looks like they're well coached. They're calm. They're confident. They're doing things right. They're 7-1-1. They have 15 points. And that is number one in the number one in the NHL, along with Edmonton and Colorado.
Now the Sabres down the left wing wall in the King zone. Centered in front, they score! Casey Mittelstadt with the quick release. And it's 1-0 Buffalo. Center out again. Iafano gets it into the slot. Martinez with a chance! Carter Hutton makes the save, and the Kings are swarming here. Puck comes to Scandella. Joki Haru with room on the right side. He gets to the San Jose line. Nice move. Drops it off. Johansson with a shot. Scores! Johansson the goal, and Joki Haru with the moves to get it there. 1-0 Buffalo.
I like Joki Haru. He's a good player. I like what he's doing right now. And by the way, am I going to be... I'm going to end the show on saying something that's not popular at all. I have no problem with what I've seen from Vladimir Sobotka lately. Come on now. I know he's everybody's favorite guy to just pound on.
You know what? I think Vladimir Sobotka, there's an interesting thing to... there's some nuance to this. People want a little more from him, kind of like how you wanted more from the team against Miami. Sobotka is not a darling offensively, and there is something to be wanting there. However, if you take him off that line, what are you going to do with the line combinations at that point? And there's your question. Where does he fit in after that? And the answer is nobody has any idea, because you're not moving any of these lines around with how they are playing. Because do you notice that, Sale, in all three of those highlights that were played, there was zero mention of the two superstars on the team, Jack Eichel and Rasmus Dahlin. This team is getting depth scoring, and that is huge. That is something a year ago we did not get any of. They're rolling with these four lines.
I just like the way they're playing right now, and they're going to have a chance to keep it rolling at home to the Sharks tomorrow night. That game right here, of course, on WGR Sports Radio 550. Then they're going to be at the Rangers, looking ahead to their schedule. Let me pull up their schedule right now, Sabres schedule, because they are going to Sweden soon. They're going to have that's early November.
Yeah, early
November.
Those
back-to-back games against the Lightning, right?
Yep.
Rangers on Thursday after the Sharks tomorrow night here. Rangers there on Thursday. Red Wings on Friday in Detroit. Then the Coyotes come to town a week from tonight. The Coyotes are here. Sabres back on the road against the Capitals on Friday, November 1st. They have the Islanders coming to town in the second, then they get ready for that Sweden trip. So,
a lot of days in between games for them, actually, in these next couple of weeks. Because between the Arizona game and that weekend with Washington, there's 4 days. And then you've got the 5 days between their game against the Islanders and the Sweden series between Tampa Bay. So, there's going to be a lot of time between games here. So, you're going to see a compacted schedule again later on in the year. Keep banking points. We were saying it last year. Keep banking points. Put them away. Because if the playoffs were to start right now, the Tampa Bay Lightning would be out. They'll be back. They'll be back up in the standings. Bank the points.
It's interesting what's going on in the NHL. We'll keep you updated on that. We'll keep you updated on a Buffalo Football Monday throughout today. We got John Murphy and Steve Tasker taking over. One Bills Live at noon. Show up in the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. They're going to have Micah Hyde on, as they usually do. And we're going to hear from Sean McDermott down from the stadium, along with the coordinators, today. I'll be down there 4 o'clock, 4:30. Thanks a lot to all the phone calls today. It was a great show. Loved the reaction. A lot of a mixed bag today. Bills-Eagles next Sunday from Orchard Park. Looking like it's going to be about low to mid-50s. Partly sunny. I like that. I can deal with that. Nice day out. Get ready for it. The Bills could go to 6-1. Thanks to Derek Kramer for producing today. I'm Sal Capaccio. We got Monday Night Football tonight here on WGR. It's the Patriots and the Jets, but One Bills Live up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.